Well, good morning, everyone. And for any visitors, guests that we have with us today, my name is Kevin Armstrong, and I am honored and privileged to serve as the senior pastor of Forest Brook Community Church. It's a great joy for me to be able to open this new ministry year with you today. Thank you to Jeff and the worship team for the way they have led us so far. And as we said, you know, it's the church year often follows, well, not often, it always follows the school year. We're kind of in sync in that with that way. And so we're back from summer break, and the kids are back to school, and our ministry year is picking up. Everything's kind of launching and ramping up again for another exciting year of ministry and growth, both inwardly and outwardly, we pray. And to that end, I was chatting with Michelle Molino, who's a member of our congregation before, and she was telling me what it was like on Tuesday when she was getting her family up and back to school. And she said she was having a real difficult time waking Dom up. And so she was shaking him, and she was saying, get up, you have to go to school. And Dom said, give me two good reasons why I have to go to school. I don't want to go to school. And she said, well, for one, you're 52 years old, and for the second, you're the teacher. So Dom and Michelle are both teachers. We love them, and they are back to work. So welcome back, guys. Good to see you. And that's a true story, by the way. I should not begin the ministry year with a lie, should I? That's probably not a good thing to do. I was trying to think of when my first memory of kingdom was. I had to go back to when I was in elementary school. And I seem to have this memory, as I thought about it and pondered it, came back to me, that there was a time in science class when they taught us about kingdoms as a way of organizing and ordering all living things. And what I seem to remember was that there was an animal kingdom and a plant kingdom, and there was one other kind of kingdom. I was trying to figure out what it was. So I went to Google, that source of all knowledge, and checked it out. And I had thought all this time that there were just three kingdoms of all living things. And according to Google, there's six. Two of them make sense to me, animals and plants. Well, actually three. But then you start getting into fungi and bacteria and all that kind of stuff, and I lost interest. But that idea of kingdoms as a way of organizing and classifying things, that seems to be the way that my earliest memory of it. When I was a new Christian, I heard a lot about the kingdom of God. I was part of a church that had a very, very strong emphasis on eschatology. We were living in the end times. Jesus was going to return at any moment and usher in the kingdom of God. This was something that we were all eagerly looking forward to. We prayed for, thy kingdom come. That one day Jesus would return and the kingdom would come and there would be world peace. No more war, no more conflict. Everyone would live in harmony. There would be food in abundance, no more hunger. The streets would be paved with gold, if not literally, then figuratively. But it would be a future utopia that we were longing for and waiting for. And Jesus would be king. And everyone would live by the Ten Commandments, and it would be bliss, utopia on earth. In 1995, I met Jesus. And Jesus became the focus of my faith. Now, Jesus had always been part of my faith. Before that time, I had known about Jesus through the Bible. I had known about Jesus through church. I knew all about Jesus. I'd always believed that Jesus had died for my sins. We celebrated communion, and when we celebrated communion, I remembered Jesus and thought of his death on the cross for me. But it wasn't until 1995 that I actually met him. And he stepped out of the shadows of my religion, and he became real to me. It was the most exciting thing in my life. And when that happened, that shifted the focus of my faith, of my life in Christ. He became the center of it. I couldn't get enough of Jesus. I read all about Jesus. I loved Jesus. I began to pray to Jesus. I wanted to talk to people about Jesus. My whole faith was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It was all about Jesus. And that was good. Jesus is all that. and worthy of all of that. But in the last few years, God has been doing a bit of a convergence of these things in my life and bringing these things into a different focus. It probably began about 10 years ago when I read books by Leslie Newbegin, who is the father of the missional church, that whole idea of the need for the church to wake up and look at its world and its mission differently and realize that we were missing something really important in our purpose. That we weren't just a people who loved Jesus and were waiting for a future utopia. That we actually were a people who had a purpose and a mission, and we needed to be about our Father's business. And Newbegin kind of cracked that egg wide open. And then others began to follow, and others began to expound that and write about it. It wasn't just an individual here, individual there. It was a movement that the Holy Spirit began in the church worldwide, and he began to move and blow through the church, trying to wake us up to who we were and call us back to our purpose. A few years ago, all of this really came together for me when I read N.T. Wright's book, How God Became King. And if you like to read, and you are someone who likes to study these things more deeply than we can do on a Sunday morning, then I would highly recommend that you get a copy of that. I'll get a few copies and put them in the library. You can check it out or get your own copy. It's worth reading as he takes a look at each of the Gospels and brings the Gospel narratives together to help us understand this concept of kingdom more fully. So we've decided that this year we want to take a good look at the kingdom of God. And today I want to introduce the reasons why. Why we think that that topic, that subject, is worth our attention for an extended period of time as a church. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, where we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Now, there's a few things that I want us to notice here in this passage. First of all, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's easy to understand because the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are synonymous terms. The reason that Matthew uses kingdom of heaven is because Matthew is writing largely to a Jewish audience. And that's well established and recognized. And so one of the things about the Jews is they did not want to take the name of God in vain. And so they typically didn't use the name of God. They used euphemisms a great deal. And so rather than call it the kingdom of Yahweh, he called it the kingdom of heaven. But it's the same idea, the same concept. Matthew refers to it 33 times, the kingdom of heaven, and 4 times the kingdom of God in his gospel. Luke, who's the closest companion to Matthew, uses the term kingdom of God exclusively and uses it 34 times. Now, here's the thing I want us to notice about this. As Jesus began his ministry, after his baptism, after his temptation, after John had been put in prison, interestingly enough, if we looked at verse 3 of chapter 4, this was John the Baptist's message as well. John the Baptist was in the wilderness preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Exactly the same message that Jesus was bringing. And now Jesus, as he begins his ministry, comes and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, if we go a little further in the chapter, if we go to verse 23, Matthew gives us this summary of Jesus' ministry. "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people." Jesus was preaching the gospel, the evangel of the kingdom, everywhere that he went. It was his message. It was the subject of what Jesus taught. It was the thing that Jesus talked about and was all about the most. In Luke, if we looked at Luke's version in chapter 4, verse 42-43, there's an incident that Luke recalls where people were looking for Jesus. And the disciples came to him, and Jesus said, no, we're not going to stay in this town. We're going to go, we're going to keep moving on until we've reached more and more towns in Galilee. And Jesus says this, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns because this is why I was sent. This is what Jesus was all about, the kingdom of God. It's what motivated him. It's what moved him. It was his message. It was his purpose. I think that the kingdom of God is God's organizing principle. Now, what is an organizing principle, you say? Well, an organizing principle is defined as this. It's the core assumption from which everything else by association derives its definition and value. It's the main thing. It's the main thing from which everything else makes sense. From which everything else makes sense. Let's think about it for a second. The kingdom of God is, just listen to this, think about it. The kingdom of God is what the Bible is all about. The kingdom of God is what Jesus is all about. The kingdom of God is what the church is all about. The kingdom of God is what human history is all about. And the kingdom of God is what humanity's future is all about. And yet the kingdom of God is something that we seem to have forgotten in the church today. Now, is that overstating it? Your initial reaction, some of our initial reaction might be, absolutely, that's you're going way over the top, Kevin. You've made some really outlandish statements that you're going to have to defend. Granted, I accept that. I accept that. This message of the kingdom is the church's message as well. Matthew 24, verse 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. Our commission as the people of God is this kingdom of God, to proclaim it, to bear witness to it until the end of time. It's what we're all about as well. And so what we want to do this year is we want to take a good look at this and possibly reframe it, because maybe you know a lot about the kingdom of God, or maybe you don't know very much about it at all. But I am willing to bet that as we look at it more closely, what we think we know may not be what Jesus said. So what we're going to do is we want to look closely at what Jesus said when he talked about the kingdom of God. And then from that, try to understand what it means for you and I. What did Jesus say about it? He said a lot about it. We're primarily going to use one gospel as our main text this year, the Gospel of Matthew. We'll reference others as we go along. We could go into the epistles of Paul. It was the message in Acts. It was the message in Paul as well. But Jesus had an awful lot to say about it. But I want us to prepare ourselves, because when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God to the people of his day, let's understand and remember this. It made some people mad as hell. The religious people of his day, the religious leaders of his day, were infuriated by his message. Other people got all excited because they thought, yes, great, here comes the revolution, we're on board. Yet Jesus refused to pick up a sword. How are they going to overthrow the Romans without going to battle? The message of the kingdom of God was a huge enigma to the people that Jesus was talking to about it. And yet it was so real, it was so present, they couldn't help but understand something was going on. And so some of us might be challenged. Some of us might be excited. Some of us might be invigorated and enthusiastic as we hear about the kingdom of God. And all of those reactions are what people have always felt and responded to when the kingdom of God has been preached. I don't think that this is overstating it. I think that the kingdom of God, as I said, is what it's all about. But there's a catch. There's a catch. And so we have to begin this year by stopping right here and admitting and confessing something that Jesus himself said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. When Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "You know what, Jesus, we get that you are a teacher come from God. You're a prophet. Nobody could do the stuff you're doing unless God was with them. You're a great teacher. Everything is awesome." And then Jesus responds to him with this line, which seems to make no sense. Doesn't even seem to address what Nicodemus was talking about. Jesus goes way over here. And he says to Nicodemus, "You know what, Nicodemus? I want to tell you something. No one can see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, unless they're born again. Unless they're born of the water and born of the Spirit, they can't even see it." Now, you and I need to stop here and think about that for a second. Because what Jesus was saying is that this thing that he talked about, this thing that he was all about, this thing called the kingdom of God, is imperceptible to us without the new birth. Without the spiritual new birth, without being born from above, without being born in the waters of baptism and imbued with the person of the Holy Spirit, unless we are born again, we're not going to make sense out of this. We're not going to understand it. But not only that, the verb he uses to see means to see visually. It also means to perceive or experience. And I think Jesus had all of those in mind. People saw Jesus' miracles. They saw the evidence of the kingdom. They saw the transforming power of the kingdom. And it drove them mad because they couldn't actually see what was going on. They couldn't understand it. They didn't have the faith. They didn't have the sight. They didn't have the spirit to be able to understand what Jesus was doing. So they couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't experience it. And for that to happen, we have to be born again. We are evangelical Christians. And as evangelical Christians, one of the things that we believe in is that people who are Christian, followers of Jesus, have been born again. They have had a new birth experience. They have been born from above. They're not just merely human. An evangelical Christian is not just sitting in the pew at church, thinking with their head, feeling with their heart, and figuring this all out on their own. They have the Holy Spirit in them, who is adding to their understanding, teaching them, leading them, showing them, molding them. And that birth of the Spirit comes only when we become a Christian. Born of the water, born of the Spirit. So I just want to suggest, and indeed encourage, if you're here today and you are not sure, you are not 100% sure that you were born again, you need to go to Alpha. You need to be part of Alpha. Because Alpha walks us through all of that. Walks us through everything that it means to be a Christian and to become a Christian. And the reason I encourage that is because you're not going to get the full benefit and the full effect of what we're going to do for an entire year without being born from above. And those are not my words. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. What Jesus said to Nicodemus. So if you're not sure, if you don't know for a fact that you have been born of the Spirit, please go to Alpha. Give yourself the opportunity to meet Jesus and meet the Holy Spirit and get that figured out in your life. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, the Spirit leads. Now, that doesn't mean it's an imaginary kingdom. It is very real and it is present right here, right now. It doesn't mean that we've made it up. just because it's a spiritual kingdom. I was trying to think of an analogy of this, and I was experimenting. I was looking at a few videos. You all know what a strobe light is. So a strobe light, you go to a dance party or whatever, and it's a dark room, and there's a strobe light that's blinking, and it's just a flashing light. And as people move around, there's this neat effect, because it's like stop-action photography. When the light flashes, the person's here, then it goes dark, and it flashes again, and they've moved, and so you have this jerky movement. It's a neat effect. It's a good analogy, because the Bible tells us that we, as human beings in the world today, live in darkness. And that Jesus is the light. And then when the light comes on, what happens? It exposes the darkness. There's a flash. Right? And as we're going to see as we study this, you know, one day the light will be fully on and there will be no more darkness. All the darkness will be dispelled. But for now, it's like we're living in a strobe light world. That Jesus' light flashes, and it can flash more and more and more. And what it does is it illuminates the darkness, and we begin to see what before we couldn't see. It's kind of like that. The kingdom of God is kind of like that. I have another memory of kingdom, and this is from 2007. When Shirley and I took our kids to Disney World, and we got to experience the Magic Kingdom. And we had a great time. Now, most of us, I'm sure, how many of you have been to Magic Kingdom in Disney World? Yeah, pretty much everybody. I should probably ask who hasn't been, but then you'd feel badly. You'd feel left out, Janice. Yeah, there you go. So, we won't single you out, though, Janice, okay? We won't draw attention to that fact. But anyway, so I had heard all about it for, you know, all my life. You grow up, and it's the only time we've ever been, but we had heard about it. We loved Disney. Our kids did all the Disney stuff. We had all the Disney films and everything, and some friends of ours had been there a couple years before, and they gave us all the brochures, and we were planning and preparing and getting all excited. I'd mapped everything out. We knew exactly what we were going to do. We were staying right there in Disney World. It was going to be a great time. And I remember the first day when we went to the Magic Kingdom, and we just had the best time. We did all the touristy stuff you're supposed to do. We had pictures taken with Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and Pluto. We had dinner in the castle with all the princesses. That was for Chelsea. Cameron didn't enjoy it so much, but we did it. We had dinner in the castle with all the princesses. The fireworks at night were absolutely stunning, just amazing to me. But my best memory of all is as we were leaving the park and we were walking down Main Street, USA, after the fireworks to go out of the park. This is Florida. We were there Christmas Eve. They made it snow. It snowed on us as we were walking down Main Street. It was just the coolest effect. We had heard about it, but then we got to experience it. And the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is meant to be experienced. The kingdom of God is not something that we hear about. It's not something just that we're waiting for. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, or the kingdom of God is at hand, what he means is it's right here, right now. It's right here, right now. And you and I can experience it. That's what we hope to accomplish this year. To help you get ready, we've put a few things in place. One is, I mean, this is a really easy one. I am going to encourage us as a church, every single one of us, to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. If you don't do that already, and I know you pray, and however you pray, I'm not saying to change any, but add to whatever your prayer regimen is, reciting the Lord's Prayer every day for the next 10 months. I'm going to ask for that. I do it every night before I go to bed. Choose a time that works for you, first thing in the morning, when you go to bed, whatever, but recite the Lord's Prayer. And I'll tell you why. Think about it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It's right there. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the main thing. As we pray that prayer, and as we go week after week after week through this ministry year, we're going to unpack and examine and learn more about what the kingdom of God is and what it means and the difference it makes in your life and my life and the world that we live in. And if you allow it to, if you journey with us for the next 10 months, it will change your life and it will change your world. I promise you that. Because the kingdom of God is all that and more, even more. We have a service here called Right Now Media that we are subscribers to at Forest Brook. If you're new to the church or visiting and you're not part of Right Now Media, please come to the gather desk after this morning or talk to Rachel sometime. Get signed up. It's a free thing. We provide it for you. There's all kinds of Christian resources, Bible study materials on there. We're happy to sign you up for that and make you a part of our account. Won't cost you anything at all. But we have a Forest Brook page there, a library, and Rachel has queued up for us a video by Ed Stetzer, 30-minute video on this topic, which is really good, very dynamic. He's a much better preacher than I am, and very exciting to listen to as he explains Matthew 4:17 and what Jesus meant when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That's queued up on Right Now Media. You can watch it right after I finish speaking if you want, but, you know, wait till tomorrow. So you can do that. The other thing I want to suggest is, as I said earlier, if you're a reader and you're looking for a good book to read to kind of bring all this together and get some of the background and some of the threads that bring all of this together, get N.T. Wright's book, How God Became King, and read that. It's a great book for the journey that we're going to make together as we go along. And the last thing I'm going to ask you to consider, to think about, and really encourage you is, this is God's kingdom we're talking about, not Forest Brook's, not Kevin's. It's God's kingdom. And we're going to come together for our Catalyst night on Sunday, September the 24th at 7 p.m., and we're going to celebrate that in a praise and worship service in 2 weeks' time on Sunday night. We're going to come together, and we're going to praise and worship God and pray for his kingdom to show itself, to reveal itself, and to come to just ask God's blessing on this journey that we're going to do for the whole year. And yes, there will be apple crisp and ice cream. So come, because it's a great time of worship and good food as well. That would be good. We would appreciate you coming to be part of that. When Jesus started his message, as did John the Baptist, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I've mentioned that we can't see or experience or perceive the kingdom of God unless we've been born again. And that first word is so crucial in what Jesus says, where he says, "Repent." That word "repent" gets people's attention. And it was supposed to. The kingdom of God is not something that allows for life to be ordinary or the same as always. The kingdom of God demands change. The kingdom of God calls us to turn our lives around and go in a different direction. The kingdom of God calls us to be different. The kingdom of God calls us to give up the ordinary, to give up those things that we are holding on so dearly that keep us from God. And it calls us to surrender those so that we can receive the fullness of God. That word "repent" means, do I have your attention now? Because what I'm about to say is life-changing. That's where we wanted to start today. I hope we have your attention. I hope that you will look deeply into these things. I hope that this will be a year of real change for you, for me, for us, and for our world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to your word. We submit ourselves to our Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that your kingdom is utopia. We know that your kingdom is perfect. But there is so much more that you said and taught about the kingdom of God that we want to hear. Lord, I pray that even now your Holy Spirit would be softening our hearts and opening our ears and our spirits to begin to flood in with this amazing truth of the reality of your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you would prepare us for the journey ahead, that your kingdom would come. And by that I mean that our eyes would be opened, we would see it, we would be able to perceive it and experience it the way that you intended us to do. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word. Thank you for the comforter who is with us to make that word come to life in our hearing. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.